the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, March the 19th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Democrats call for the investigation of a spa owner who allegedly offered access to President Trump. Also on the Tuesday rundown, prolonged repercussions expected from the bomb cyclone, plus navigating the stumbling blocks to Medicaid expansion. Topping our news, the Associated Press reporting top Democrats urging the FBI to investigate a Trump campaign donor who is the founder and one-time owner of a spa that has been implicated in a human trafficking ring. In a Friday letter to the FBI, the AP reports that Democrats on the House and the Senate Judiciary and Intelligence panels wrote that reports about Li Yang raised serious counterintelligence concerns. Yang's company claimed it could provide Chinese clients with a chance to mingle and take photos with President Trump, along with access to his private club in Palm Beach, Florida. The AP said the Democrats said China has frequently used non-traditional intelligence collectors and business persons to compromise targets and asked for investigations into potential human trafficking, unlawful lobbying, and campaign finance violations. Governor Kim Reynolds toured areas of western Iowa yesterday where communities are struggling to recover from last week's bomb cyclone that caused massive flooding and saw rivers in 41 locations set new record levels, mainly in the Missouri Valley.
The system brought rain to already saturated and still frozen ground, overwhelming drainage systems and breaching levees along several rivers. Midwest Climate Hub Director Dennis Tode says climate change means farmers are facing unpredictable challenges because such storms are becoming more frequent.
That is a concern as we go along as to what our springs are going to look like on a more frequent basis from a flooding perspective, but also from a soils perspective, because when you have this kind of overland flow, you're losing a lot of your good soils.
The Army Corps of Engineers said outflows from Gavin's Point Dam on the Missouri River near Yankton, South Dakota, are dropping, but flooding downstream won't be over for some time. I'm Roz Brown.
Between Iowa and Nebraska, nearly 100 counties have declared a state of emergency, and the American Red Cross continues to send disaster relief volunteers to the area to help those affected by the floods. Meantime, housing is considered a foundation for living, and Mary Sherman's been taking a look at a new report that suggests it's an unstable foundation for hundreds of thousands of folks in Ohio.
The National Low-Income Housing Coalition's GAP report finds that 67% of the state's extremely low-income renter households are spending more than half their income on rent. Executive Director of the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio, Bill Faith, explains that's more than 290,000 families who have to make difficult decisions in order to keep a roof over their heads.
So that just means for those folks that other needs of the household are going to go wanting, whether or not they're having enough food to eat, gas money to put into the car, health care costs, and things of that nature.
The coalition considers people extremely low income if they make only 30% of their area's median income, and in Ohio, only 43 rental units are available and affordable for every 100 of these households. Governor Mike DeWine is calling for increased investments for affordable housing, and his budget proposes increasing funding for the Ohio Housing Finance Agency by 4.5% over the next 2 years. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
That report also notes that federal investments are needed for programs such as the National Housing Trust Fund, Housing Choice Vouchers, and for public housing. Members of the Moms Clean Air Task Force testified Monday before the Environmental Protection Agency over plans to roll back protection from toxic air pollutants.
More than 30 moms from 15 states condemned a Trump administration proposal to weaken the mercury and air toxic standards, called MATS, which sets limits on pollution from coal-fired power plants. Elizabeth Iwaschio lives in Salt Lake City with her daughter and husband. She told the EPA that her family faces the Salt Lake Valley's annual winter atmospheric inversion, which can turn the air quality from fair to dangerous.
I'm 6 months pregnant. I have a 3.5-year-old, and my husband is seriously asthmatic. Raising children in the Salt Lake Valley can be quite guilt-inducing as a parent. So I'm really concerned with the proposed mercury and other toxic chemicals rollback.
Iwaschio says although the inversion is a natural phenomenon, the existence of 4 coal-fired power plants in Utah, including one in the Salt Lake Valley, contribute to the bad air quality there during the winter months. Mark Richardson reporting.
And finally, last year, Nebraska voters passed a measure to expand Medicaid. But Eric Gladys tells us state officials are stumbling out of the gate to implement that plan.
The move would bridge a health coverage gap for 94,000 Nebraskans who don't earn enough to get subsidies for market rate insurance, but earn too much to qualify for standard Medicaid. Valerie Bauer is a registered nurse at Mary Lanning Healthcare in Hastings. She says expanding Medicaid is also critical for keeping hospital doors open.
Rural hospitals especially benefit from Medicaid expansion. A lot of rural hospitals have been closing in the last few years, and a lot of that has to do with uncompensated care.
More than two-thirds of Nebraskans who fall into the Medicaid coverage gap are employed, and more than one in three live in rural counties. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.